Street Knowledge with Chris Graham. Chris Graham here with Scott German. And we're talking moments after Virginia's thrilling 20-14 win at North Carolina. A little too thrilling. The Cavs dominate the stats, but the game comes down to the final minute. Scott, first impressions of that win?
Had them all the way.
Yes.
I mean, you know, we're our program was the rebuilding of our program is way too young, too early on into the program to really not just be ecstatic with any kind of win.
Yes.
I mean, if you look at this game, sure. You know, we got a lot to clean up. But before this season started, how much hope did anyone have of Virginia being 5-1 after 6 games and talking about being disappointed somewhat because we didn't take care of business better and didn't lay a whipping on North Carolina? I mean, I've suffered through enough losing football to not want to just find all the positives about this and not really spend a lot of time dwelling on the negatives.
Oh, there's nothing negative about a win on the road. And a North Carolina team 1-5 coming in, but don't worry, you know, the records don't mean anything. You know, this game felt like the kind of game, we've said this before, Scott, I think last week's game with Duke was an example of this too, that a Virginia team last year, previous years, would have lost this game. You know, they lead 10-0 at halftime. You dominate the stats. Carolina only has 75 yards offense in the first half, but it's only 10-0. And then the Heels come out and score on their first two drives, all on the ground. Two big running plays by Michael Carter. A 57-yard run sets up a short 1-yard touchdown by Carter to make it 10-7. Next drive, he gets the ball first play, 47 yards off the left side. And just like that, you know, Virginia dominates this game all the way through, it feels like, at that point, and you're losing 14-10. And, you know, again, that's where a Virginia team, a young team, can often panic. But what Virginia does, they come out, the big play to Zacchaeus, 81-yard touchdown, a catch and run. Most of that was a run. It was a pass out in a flat on first down. He breaks a tackle at the UVA 24, streaks down the sidelines, 81 yards for the touchdown, 17-14. Heels get a big stop. Virginia had a 3rd-and-1 at the 6-yard line on the first play of the fourth quarter. A holding penalty brings back a touchdown. Virginia ends up settling for a field goal, 20-14. Quick recap then. Virginia gets the ball back after a Carolina punt with 11:32 to go, runs almost 9 minutes off the clock, but then Kurt Binkert fumble on a third down play, and the Heels have the ball back at the 40-yard line. Couple first downs. They're in you know, plus territory. 4th-and-9, Chris Pease with a sack. Probably a benefit that what could have been easily a face mask call not called on that play, on the fourth down play. And the Cavs hold on the win. But there were a lot of junctures there, Scott, where this Virginia team, a young team again, young and winning, could have folded the tent up. Carolina had all the momentum there for a while, even on that last drive. There was those first two first downs, you know, they got the ball in plus territory after a turnover. Virginia, soldiers up and does what it needs to do. And so that's why it's an impressive win, because it wasn't an easy win. It was a tough win on the road facing a lot of adversity.
And we've said this over and over, and it probably sounds like we're just tooting our own horns, but hey, we are, and we deserve, really should. How would you, the old Virginia, even if Virginia is as old as or as young as last year, they would not have won this game.
Yeah.
There was multiple times there. First of all, I think the two back-to-back scores by Carolina would have just crushed their will right then. But, you know, even that, there were some plays in the second half. You know, you take confidence, you add a little bit of enthusiasm and belief in the new coach and the system, and those are the things that are winning football games for Virginia. There's no doubt in my mind this team would have lost that game last year, unequivocally. I mean, do you feel would have figured out a way to pull it out.
Well, last year's team wasn't competitive largely either. You know, we have to go back a couple years because Mike London's last two teams are a better comparison. You know, Virginia went 5-7 in 2014, 4-8 in 2015, but they, you know, had a lot of close games that they lost in the last, you know, last 5 minutes of the game, that kind of thing. You know, even the last time we played Carolina, it was actually 2014 playing Carolina in Charlottesville, a 28-27 loss. You know, that game Virginia led. There was even a similarity in sense of, you know, Virginia in that game had a lead, had the ball for a long stretch of that fourth quarter, trying to drive, run clock out, a silly turnover, Carolina gets the ball back, scores quickly, then that onside kick that they recovered ran the clock out. You know, there was a similar feel to that 2014 game, UVA-UNC in Charlottesville, as this game, especially with Virginia getting that drive, you know, running so much of the clock off in the fourth quarter, and then fumbling, but then the difference was this time the defense bowed up. You know, last time in that game, that was actually when Mitch Trubisky was a backup player for North Carolina, came in and threw the touchdown pass that won the game. You know, that was a very similar situation with some of the same players. Obviously, Micah Kizer, Quinn Blanding were members of that team. They were young guys on that team. Now they're veterans on this team. And, you know, they again, the defense faced adversity. Carolina takes over at the 40-yard line. Now they need to score a touchdown. But, you know, they have all the momentum after a turnover. The feeling in the stadium is what it is. And they get a couple first downs, get the ball down to about the 40-yard line of Virginia, and the Cavs do what they need to do. So, yeah, there's no question. I don't even want to say last year's team. Last year's team wasn't largely competitive in any of these games, but certainly compared to the last couple of years of the London era, when there was a lot of talent on the Virginia sideline, but it wasn't put in the right places and certainly didn't have the confidence to finish games out. You know, that was the question those last 2 years under London. Can they finish games out? This team, the last 2 weeks, has finished games out, and that's why they're 5-1.
Against two big rivals, one at home, this one down in Chapel Hill. You know, I'm not even that confident that the Virginia team of 2017, after maybe a couple of games,
yeah,
still had that belief. I think that belief really started to build. During that Connecticut game, during that game that turned out to be a rout, it wasn't as close as the final score indicated. I don't want to say the light switch went on, but it's on now. And, you know, I was looking at the schedule for the remainder of the season. It doesn't take much to figure out. 5-1 at the midway point. You win one of your last six games and you become bowl eligible, but all of a sudden, if Virginia only wins one of their last six games, it's going to be devastation time in Charlottesville. And that schedule, if you've kept up with what's going on in college football, is not all as imposing as it once seemed. Louisville loses at home today to Boston College.
Mm-hmm.
They talked about the last three games, Louisville, Miami. Miami is in a dogfight right now in a monsoon rainstorm with Georgia Tech in Miami, losing. So, you know, I just think that this team is playing with such confidence right now. The sky is the ceiling, like, for Virginia football.
Yeah, we may, you know, after this one, you don't want to overlook any opponent. Next week, it's BC. The team that just beat Louisville in Louisville, 45-42, with a lot of running. I got to watch a lot of that game. Didn't get to watch the end because our game started at 3:30. But Boston College put a whooping on Louisville in the line of scrimmage. So that's going to be a bruising game next week. You know, we'll preview that one later, Monday, Tuesday, as we move into the next week. But, you know, two teams that like to control the line of scrimmage, and Boston College ran wild today at Papa John's Stadium in that upset win, 45-42. So that's going to be a heck of a game. But, you know, then you're at Pitt, which is struggling this year, to say the least. Then you finish up with four toughies, obviously Georgia Tech, Louisville, Miami, Virginia Tech. But like you said, Scott, you know, Louisville isn't as tough as they looked. You know, Miami is undefeated as we're talking right this second. But Georgia Tech, you know, right there with them, Virginia Tech finishing up. You know, all of a sudden we turn from, okay, maybe we can win six and go to a bowl to, huh, you don't want to get too far ahead of yourself, but this team might be playing for something more than just a chance at a minor bowl when they play at Miami in on November 18th and then at home on the Friday after Thanksgiving against Virginia Tech. There might be some bigger stakes for this team if things, you know, if this team continues to play the way it is right now.
But you know, Coach Mendenhall, that's not in. The only thing that's going to be on that coach's staff's mind, and then ultimately the players, they're going to be thinking about Boston College next week.
And no question, yeah.
Not that they needed to get UVA's attention, but they certainly did it today, beating Louisville in Louisville.
Well, of course, they played Clemson really tough. The final score was 34-7 a couple weeks ago, but that game was 7-7 in the fourth quarter, so... and they played. I thought they played Tech well. They lost that game, and you know Tech sort of controlled the second half. But I thought they played. So yeah, no question. BC is on our radar. You know, enjoy this win tonight. Tomorrow we focus on BC. I'll roll through some stats here. I've got the stat broadcast in front of me. Kurt Binkert, I thought a solid game. 19 of 31 passing, 249. He did get sacked four times today. That's the first time really. He'd only been sacked four times the last 4 weeks combined, but UNC got him a bit today, four sacks. He did throw for two touchdowns. Jordan Ellis had a huge game, 27 attempts, 136 yards. He just seemed to move the pile every time he got in the line. What Ellis was able to do out there, Scott, he looked like some of the great UVA running backs of old. With when he was on the field, he was the best player on the field for all those snaps.
Chris, I don't have those stats in front of me, but you do. So tell me quickly first, what was the total yardage on the day for North Carolina?
257, 211 on the ground. Brandon Harris, 7 of 18 passing, 46 yards, 3 interceptions. And, you know, a lot of the stats were skewed a lot. Michael Carter, 13 attempts for 157 yards, but 103 of those yards were on two carries, those two bursts
right
through the left side of the line.
So you take those two long runs out of the equation, and you may not have any points, but you certainly have their offensive total, right? You slice that in half almost.
Yeah.
And this Virginia defense played an outstanding game today.
Yeah, Virginia had five tackles for loss, two sacks. Yeah, you take those yards out there, about 150 yards offense. Carolina only had 12 first downs, only had the ball for 20 minutes and 2 seconds. And Virginia, you know, dominated time of possession. That's why it was so nail-biting. It was so hard for it to be nail-biting at the end. Virginia dominated the stats, 405 total yards for the Cavs to 257 for Carolina. Again, most of that on two big plays. Virginia, 23 first downs at 12 for Carolina, 39-58 time possession, 20-02 for Carolina. Carolina with three turnovers, Virginia just the one at the end there, the Binkert fumble that gave Carolina the ball back for its one last chance. We actually saw A.J. Mejia hit a couple of short field goals. Virginia was, now, one area that Virginia was deficient on, they were 4 of 16 on third downs, but then 3 of 3 on fourth downs. Carolina 3 of 11 on third downs and 0 of 1 on fourth downs. That last play, the sack by Chris Peace. Defensively, once again, another stellar effort by this UVA defense, which is suddenly one of the better defenses in the ACC, if not the country.
Playing with a lot of confidence. Here we are. We're talking about, okay, we have Virginia has things to clean up during this upcoming week to clean up, but we're talking about cleaning up things after a win.
Yeah.
And how many times over and over in the past have we just come away from a game, having lost a game and having so many opportunities to have won it, only to just do something silly, penalty, broken play, or whatever. This is uncharted water for Virginia football for a long time.
It is, and you know, I'll point out too, we talked on our podcast earlier this week, the preview, about the play calling. You talked, Scott, just a few minutes ago about how Virginia, you know, has this team is a different team that even played the first 2 weeks of this season. The game against Indiana, Kurt Binkert dropped back to pay. He threw 66 passes, got sacked a couple times. So he dropped back to pass 69 times that day. Virginia only ran 25. So a 69-25 ratio of pass to run. Today the ratio was 47 runs, 31 passes. And so now in the last four games, all Virginia wins. The Cavs have actually run the ball, by my count, 13 times more than they've passed it total over those games. And so balanced offense and successful offense, and of course the defense is off the field because the team's running so well. Ellis, again, the big career day, 136 yards on the ground. And so this is a football team. Now, there's a lot of razzle-dazzle, you know. There's wide receiver jet sweeps, and, you know, there's all different things, different nuances the way Virginia does things. Long handoffs. There was even one play. One of Ellis's big gains was on what looked like a pass, but it was behind. Binkert threw it backwards, so it was technically a long handoff, long lateral. But no matter how you draw it up, this is still a smash-mouth football team right now. When you run the ball 47 times and win a football game, and then you hold the opponent to 257 total offense, that's a smash-mouth football team. And you know, winning the old-fashioned way by out-physicaling your opponent, that's Virginia football in 2017.
And that's the mindset of Coach Lindenhall. That's the blueprint right there. You win that battle at the line of scrimmage, and it just makes everything fall into place. It makes everything look kind of simple. And that offensive line, I'm not sure exactly how they grade them now, but I remember years ago, I worked a couple of years for UVA football up in the press box, and one of the jobs I had was spotting the offensive line plays, and Coach Welch had a grading system for players that were beating their man off the line and were scrimmaging, and there was a magic number there that I guess only Coach Welch or the offensive line coordinator had, and you wanted to get the offensive line cumulative score above 70, and most of the UVA teams were under Welch were in the high 70s, low 80s consistently. I don't know how Mendenhall grades that offensive line, but you can't help but to think they're getting some solid marks because they are doing excellent work up front.
I'll give some quick defensive stats. We talked about the total yardage for North Carolina. Quinn Blanding, 10 tackles, one quarterback hurry. Jordan Mack, 9 tackles. Micah Kaiser, 8 tackles. Chris Peace, credited with 6 tackles, 1.5 sacks. I thought Andrew Brown had a big tackle for loss early in the game to snuff out a third down and short. It was Bryce Hall. I'm looking for his stats here real quick. Bryce Hall had an interception and also 2 pass breakups on passes from Harris early in the game. Actually, one was in the first quarter. I think one was in the second quarter. That could have been big plays for North Carolina, and he got in and great technique knocked those passes down. Chris Moore also had an interception and a tackle for loss. That's a nice dichotomy there. And the other interception was Brenton Nelson, who also had a pass breakup. So your secondary numbers, your tackling numbers there, the stars of the game for Virginia defensively. And and I didn't give any numbers for the receivers. Zacchaeus, 100 yards receiving, including that 81-yard touchdown run. Donnie Dowling had a nice game. You know, he's become a tough possession receiver. 5 catches, 62 yards. Evan Butts had 3 catches, 33 yards, and that touchdown in the second quarter. Joe Reed, 3 catches, 26 yards. And so there's your numbers for the day. Zacchaeus also had 13 yards rushing on those jet sweep plays. So that's pretty much it in terms of stats. But wow, you know, what a great team effort for this Virginia team. A 20-14 win for the Cavs. And Boston College is on the radar. We won't think about Boston College. Scott and I will be able to look at some numbers, and when we do our podcast early in the week, we'll be thinking UVA Boston College. But for now, we'll let this UNC win sink in.
Well, Chris, let me ask you this: Dare we even mention, think about the R word?
The R word.
As in ranked.
Oh, ranked. Well, you're 5-1.
Is this team going to crack the top 25 this week?
Oh gosh, you know they're probably. I mean, they got votes this past week. You know, you've won on the road. You're 2-0 on the road with wins at Boise State and UNC. I'm not sure if they crack it this week, but they'll probably be close if not. And you beat BC next week, and you definitely, if you're not in this week, you're definitely in next week. So, but you very well could. You know, it's going to be, I'll have to look at the top 25, see who between 17 and 25 loses. And I think it's definitely a possibility. And if it's not this week, it's definitely deserved. This team at 5-1 with with again those wins on the road. And UNC's 1-6 now, but they're still UNC and still an ACC road game. And Boise State is that win still resonates for a lot of people. So gosh, I don't know. If not, you're very close. If not, you're one of the last two or three others receiving votes before the top 25.
Well, I think you hit it. The key there is that looking at the scores tonight, and those last, those teams 20 through 25, if you have two or three of those go down, then it's a definite possibility that Virginia cracks that top 25. And it doesn't really mean a lot, but it's just something that fans can hold their head up and be proud about at this point in the development of Coach Mendenhall's program.
Well, in one sense, it doesn't mean a lot. In another sense, it does. It's been a long time since this program has been ranked. I would say the 2011 season, towards the end of that season, after the win over Florida State, probably in November of that year. The next week, they lost at home to Virginia Tech and fell back out of the top 25. So that's a long time. I mean, a lot's happened in the last 6 years for Virginia. You know, so yeah, it doesn't mean a lot in the sense of, you know, you still got to go out and play the football games. But for the fan base, I think for the players too. These guys were recruited. A lot of these guys, certainly the guys who are contributing to the greatest extent, were guys recruited by Mike London when this program was way down. Mike London got fired. You know, last year's 2-10 season. If they can, if they can get in the top 25, whenever that may be this season, it would be the reflection of their hard work. And you know, this program aspires, certainly just like other programs at UVA. The basketball program has been so solid the last several years. Gosh, so many of the Olympic sports at UVA, the national championship in baseball a couple years ago. So many programs at Virginia are national championship level. They're top 20, top 10, top 20 level programs. For the football guys to be able to walk around grounds and have turned this around as quickly as they have, you know, it's just a number, but I think it could mean something. Even though, again, you still got to go out and play more football, that kind of thing. It could be a nice, it'd be a nice feather in the cap for this program.
I agree. It's not. It is just a number, and it's an opinion of some voters that often don't even see the games played. But considering how downtrodden the program has been the last 5 years or so, it would be pretty sweet to see us in that top 25.
It would be. So that's what we're holding our breath for, I guess, this weekend. Those numbers come out, I guess, tomorrow, 8 p.m. the coaches' polls. So we'll be waiting for that. Of course, Gus Free Press. We haven't reported much on the AP Top 25 and Coaches Poll Top 25 football polls the last several years on AFP. But well, actually, if there is a ranking, we'll be reporting all that tomorrow. So be looking at AFP for that tomorrow. In addition to Scott and I getting our heads together, we'll be previewing the UVA BC game coming up next weekend. And of course, tonight, the rest of the night, if you're listening to this podcast, I've still got a lot to crank out in terms of game recap. We've already got the game recap on the website as we're recording this, but game columns, stats breakdowns, and that kind of thing still to come. So it's going to be a long night for me in a good way, a good happy long night for us here at AFP. For Scott German, I'm Chris Graham signing off. Thank you for listening to Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.